Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 69 to finish at 26,492. S&P 500 down 3 at 2,915. NASDAQ Composite up 14 at 8,007. Russell 2000 up 3 at 1,708. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 2 basis points at 3.10%. Oil up 24 cents at $72.32 per barrel. Gold up $2 at $12.01.80 per ounce. Trump went to the UN today after missing his initial time slot at the annual New York City Summit of World Leaders due to tardiness. Trump kicked off his morning speech by patting himself on the back for what he considers a job well done. Trump said, "In less than 2 years, my administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country." Well, that kind of bragging might work on the campaign trail, but it didn't fly at the UN General Assembly. The world leaders in attendance started laughing. Trump, clearly caught by surprise by the laughter, said, "I didn't expect that reaction, but that's okay." And that drew even more laughter. Otherwise, the speech was fairly predictable, railing against such evils as globalism, Iran, and the United Nations. It came just after Europe, China, and Russia agreed to build a vehicle to let their companies keep trading with Iran, defying Trump's new sanctions. This could be a big step toward building a global financial architecture that replaces the U.S. dollar. Besides calling out Iran, Trump also criticized China for its trade practices, but made no mention of Russia's interference in Syria's war or its suspected meddling in U.S. elections. Delivering a harsh message to OPEC members, Trump called on them to stop raising oil prices and to pay for their own military protection. He threatened to limit U.S. aid only to countries that are friendly to the United States. A Gulf diplomat said in response that we've been doing our fair share of burden sharing. Crude oil prices hit a 4-year high today, in part due to imminent U.S. sanctions on Iranian crude exports and the apparent reluctance of OPEC and Russia to raise output to offset the potential hit to global supply. In remarks to reporters on his way to his speech, Trump said he would not meet the Iranians until they changed their tune. A spokesman for Iran said they had not requested a meeting with Trump. More and more European companies are leaving Iran following the reimposition of U.S. sanctions, and it may be tempting for Americans to write off Europe's efforts to save the Iran nuclear deal, but not so fast. A new plan by Germany, France, Britain, China, and Russia to create special financial infrastructure to work with Iran could be a credible challenge to the U.S. dollar's long global dominance. The U.S. sanctions make it virtually impossible for any entity with any U.S. exposure, that includes correspondent accounts with U.S. banks, makes it basically impossible for them to do business with Iran. The cost of defying American sanctions can be steep. Remember back in 2015, BNP Paribas, the French bank, paid a penalty of almost $9 billion for violating U.S. sanctions against Iran, Cuba, and Sudan. Now, sanctions are back, and it's clear to the Europeans, as well as the Chinese and Russians, that any future transactions with Iran must go through entities insulated from the American financial system. Germany, France, and the UK could set up a multinational state-backed financial intermediary that would deal with companies interested in Iran transactions and with Iranian counterparties. Such transactions, presumably in euros and pounds sterling, would not be transparent to American authorities. European companies dealing with the state-owned intermediary technically might not even be in violation of the U.S. sanctions as currently written. In his recent State of the European Union speech, European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker called for strengthening the euro's international role and moving away from traditional dollar invoicing in foreign trade. China and Russia have long sought the same thing, but it's only with Europe, home of the world's second biggest reserve currency, that they stand a chance of challenging American dominance. Trump's confidence in his ability to weaponize the dollar against adversaries and stubborn allies alike could eventually backfire for the U.S. as efforts to push the dollar off its pedestal grow ever more serious. Taking a look at today's economic data, Conference Board said its Consumer Confidence Index increased to a reading of 138.4 this month, up from 134.7 in August. It's the best reading since September 2000. The index is not far from the all-time high of 144.7 reached that year. Consumers' assessment of labor market conditions improved sharply, even as the trade war between the U.S. and China escalated. The Consumer Confidence Report added to fairly upbeat data on consumer spending and manufacturing that have suggested solid economic growth in the third quarter. GDP increased at a 4.2% annualized rate in the second quarter. Growth estimates for the July-September quarter are above a 3% pace. Separately, the S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Composite Home Price Index of 20 U.S. metro areas rose 5.9% in July from a year ago after increasing 6.4% in June. Prices in the 20 cities edged up 0.1% in July from June on a seasonally adjusted basis. In Phoenix, existing home prices increased 0.7% month over month through July, and prices are up 7.5% over the past 12 months. Moderation in house price inflation was underscored by another report from the Federal Housing Finance Agency, which showed its home price index rising 0.2% in July after gaining 0.3% in June. The FHFA's index is calculated by using purchase prices of houses financed with mortgages sold to or guaranteed by mortgage finance companies Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Consumer demand is still strong, but buyers are not bidding up prices of homes as much as they had been. Increasing prices and mortgage rates are reducing affordability in sales, and that's translating into slower price gains. The Federal Reserve FOMC meeting is underway. Expect the Fed to announce a rate hike tomorrow with an update on their economic forecast and dot plots. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note traded above 3.11% today, its highest level since May 18th, when the 10-year yield hit a high of 3.128%. Now, if we break that 3.13 level, and the Fed is clearly still hiking, the next port of call likely to be 3.25%. It's a matter of when, not if. Investors will be paying attention if there are any tweaks to the Fed's language on the level of accommodation that rates are providing to the economy. Playing down the accommodativeness of policy could create short-term uncertainty for markets as they absorb the implications. Higher interest rates affect everybody from major corporations to individuals to the government. Federal government could soon pay more in interest on its debt than it spends on the military, Medicaid, or children's programs. The run-up in borrowing cost is a 1-2 punch brought on by the need to finance a fast-growing budget deficit, worsened by tax cuts and steadily rising interest rates that'll make the debt more expensive. With less money coming in and more going toward interest, politicians will find it harder to address pressing needs like fixing crumbling roads and bridges or to make emergency moves like pulling the economy out of future recessions. Within a decade, more than $900 billion in interest payments will be due annually, easily outpacing spending on other programs. Already, the fastest-growing major government expense, the cost of interest, is on track to hit $390 billion next year, nearly 50% more than in 2017, according to the Congressional Budget Office. The deficit is expected to total nearly $1 trillion next year, the first time it's been that big since 2012, when the economy was still struggling to recover from the financial crisis and interest rates were near zero. Federal appeals court said today that Uber drivers seeking to be classified as employees rather than independent contractors must arbitrate their claims individually and not pursue class action lawsuits. Drivers had complained that Uber misclassified them as independent contractors to avoid having to reimburse them for gasoline, vehicle maintenance, and other expenses. Nike reported quarterly revenue beat estimates, revenue up 9.7%, net income rose to $1.09 billion, or 67 cents per share. That's up from 57 cents per share, but Nike stock trading down nearly 2% after the bell. Raytheon awarded a $1.5 billion modification to a contract for the sale of Patriot missile systems to Poland. Shares of Facebook down after two founders of photo-sharing app Instagram left Facebook under unexplained circumstances. Facebook bought Instagram in 2012 for $1 billion. Arby's owner Inspire Brands buying Sonic drive-in hamburger chain. Inspire paying $43.50 per share cash or $2.3 billion for Sonic, which has 3,600 restaurants across the country. The name game continues today. Yesterday, we told you Weight Watchers was changing its name to WW. Walmart removed the hyphen. Papa John's removed the apostrophe. Also, word Michael Kors bid on Versace. Today, Michael Kors announcing a name change to Capri Holdings. Also today, Dunkin' Donuts announced that in January, it will just be known as Dunkin'. You can still buy donuts there. They just aren't proud to admit it. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 69 to finish at 26,492. S&P 500 down 3 at 2,915. And the NASDAQ Composite up 14 at 8,007. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio. Our daily blog, eatthebankers.com.